Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Countdown to Kickoff. You'll notice I am sporting some fresh new glasses because my eyesight is that bad that I've had to get some glasses to focus on the mighty Peer United. Obviously, tomorrow, Posh face Burton, and we're here to talk about all the talking points for the game. Tomorrow, I'm joined by Charlie this evening, and then later on, I'll be joined by Ed from Brewers Bramble and Bob, who is allegedly my mate. Just before we get going, Chaz, obviously the last time you were on was Countdown to Kickoff before Wickham. So are you bringing some good omens and give me a recap on the last, what, month is it since we won a game?
Yeah, no, it's been a bit mental, isn't it? I think I was on Wickham, then we played Plymouth. And then the day after Plymouth, I moved into uni. And then the last month's just a bit of a blur, to be honest. I don't really know what's happened. I think we've lost a lot of football matches, which, you know, it's par for the course these days. It's been so depressing. And it just feels like the one thing that it feels just really quiet. There's not really a lot going on around the club at the moment, is there, other than the fact that it's just like, we're in the mud. Is Fergie going to get sacked? You know, like, it's all just that kind of talk. I'm hoping for a win to bring back a bit of positivity and to get the season going again. Doesn't really feel like the season's got into the swing of things yet. It feels still a bit disjointed, and we have an international break every like 3 weeks, which doesn't help. So yeah, it's been a good month. But yeah, I think tomorrow is just massive, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you. It's a really weird one because it kind of felt like we've wasted the last 2 weeks. If we are to sack Fergie after a poor result tomorrow, let's say, I think that realistically it's got to be a win tomorrow. I think that we probably need at least 9 points from our next four games just to ultimately keep up with the teams that are above us and in and around that relegation zone. Just before I bring on Ed from Brewers Brambles, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to our partner for this episode, Elite Lawn Maintenance. They are a local family-run company specializing in professional lawn care and football pitch treatments. They've got over 10 years experience maintaining football pitches, including Peterborough United, and they are Peterborough's leading independent lawn care experts. Get in touch with them today for a free lawn consultation, and any Up the Poshcast listeners get 25% off their first treatment. And with that, I'm going to bring in Ed from Brewers Bramble. Ed, good evening. How are you?
I'm all right, lads. Not sure if you got that quite right. It's Brewers Babble.
Yeah, I thought it was. What are you talking about? Brewers Bramble. You're talking about Bramble.
I think we had Brewers Bramble at the start. I was thinking we're quite prickly on there, but it's not quite to that level yet. Just want to make sure you got the right, so you're not going forwards with it.
Look, it was a combination of everything. I was thinking about Charlie and Sheffield as well in a trip to Bramall Lane.
That's there.
And it all just became one. Ed, talk to me about Burton's season so far. And actually, can we talk about last season as well? Because that was a great escape, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. We've done a few of those. I mean, you lads are kind of where I thought we'd be on the rules of the 2020 seasons. I thought we'd be sat 24th right now. I mean, we did have a little period down there a bit earlier into the season. I'm still quite torn about whether I should be satisfied with how this has started or not. It's difficult to really say at this stage whether I feel like it's acceptable to be sat 20th or 12 points from 11, or whether we should want a little bit more. Kind of know the position they are as a very small outfit in this league who try to hold themselves each season, and survival would be the primary objective for them. I think we as a fan base probably wanted to see a market improvement on last year, i.e. better than 20th, staying above the relegation zone rather than spending the entire campaign in it. So I guess maybe at this point right now we could say it's okay. It could still very easily just fall back into there in the next coming weeks, or it could get further away from that. So that's not too bad. You wanted last season. Last season was miraculous. What I would say, lads, is as someone with a lot of experience, do not feel down about being bottom in the middle of October. We were bottom in the middle of January and still survived. It really is so much time left in this season. You look at the games now and think we need points now. You don't need points till the second half of the year, as we've established, because I don't think we got to double think of points till around December time and didn't win our third game until the middle of January. So it can all just change as quickly as that. Gary Bowe did such a magnificent job in the second half of that season. A couple of January recruitments that were really pivotal, just turned things around. I think we were a top 10 side to the back end of that season, which got them over the line with a game to spare, and sent all three of the other teams down with their individual results, sent Shrewsbury down with a goalless draw at Exeter, sent Cambridge down by beating them 2-1, and then very last get penultimate home game of the season, draw with Wigan, which sent Bristol Rovers and Crawley on the way too. So very enjoyable back end to 20th or 25. We would like to hope we can get a relatively enjoyable start to this season. And maybe in the last two games that has been the case, but we've still got a lot of football left to go between now and the end of campaign.
Yeah, I've been really interested in Burton, and I was really interested in Burton last summer as well, because all of a sudden you just started recruiting like so many players. What sort of, because I think, has there been a change in ownership? Is that what's brought it around? And are you happy with the way that you've recruited in the last sort of like 16 months?
I'm trying to cut the number of players we've signed in the last three windows. I think we're approaching 40. It's somewhere around that mark. It's been quite manic. We're into season two of a brand new ownership group. For a long, long time, the consistency of Burnham was the owner, Ben Robertson, local businessman. He'd been on the board since the mid-1970s. I think he'd been chairman since the mid-1970s. Overseen just turning a provincial non-league club up into the Football League, peaking at championship level and established themselves now for a number of years in League One. He was just getting to an age, he just wanted to call it a day to move it on to someone else. And he chose to bring it on to a group called NFG, the Nordic Football Group, a group of people from the Scandinavia region. So all over from Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Iceland, Finland, those kind of countries who were collaborating as a group, getting together to basically take control of a football club in England and see how that can work. So they come in summer of what would have been 2024. There's quite a bit of excitement because the idea we have is that we're going to start to become a little bit more competitive financially in the market. We've been one of the lowest budgets in this league for years and just trying to hold our own. Felt like there was going to be a bit of financial backing now with what some of the apparent investors who were in. They had the most manic summer of 2024, I think I've known. We broke the British transfer record through what single window, 23 players in one go. I think three or four were retained from the previous season. It was a massive, massive squad overhaul. And with the power of hindsight, of course, we struggled to start. It was a brand new group trying to integrate itself. We were out of two preseason fixtures and then just went straight into a campaign with a brand new coach and a brand new team and everything else. And no surprise, I suppose it took as long as it did to properly get going. I think we added seven more in January to try and recover things after such a poor start. Ended up doing that. And this summer just gone has been a case of trying to be a bit more measured, trying to sort of clear out some of the dead wood from the unsuccessful signs from last summer, which they still haven't quite managed to fully do, and add a little bit more in and replace some of the key assets from last season.
Yeah, Ed, that brings up quite an interesting point, because I'm sure that I saw something recently from Burton that was sort of like a statement on the financials. And the summer was quite a weird one. It felt like you made lots of cuts off the field. Is that right?
Yeah, they had to. The loss was very significant. Trying to work out the number, I think a seven-figure sum, which the burn is a huge amount of money. I think the way things have been operated this summer has been getting the right people into key positions in the club, introducing new roles and getting the right personnel in to try and, over a period of time, manage this. This is not going to be repaired instantly. If in the perfect world, an investor can come in and just plug the gap. But for now, they have to kind of live within their means and not have as strong a budget compared to others this season and try and compete that way. They seem quite relaxed about the losses that have come. It's accepted that it happened. There were mistakes made last summer that went towards that, all kinds of weird investments into things that really weren't needed at the time. But they do believe if they just keep things measured and keep it reasonable going forwards, they could kind of balance this back out and get things back level within the next couple of years.
Yeah, that's good news. Obviously, no football club really wants to be going through financial trouble off the pitch. You mentioned a bit earlier, obviously, your great escape last season, and that was really pioneered by the new manager, Gary Boyer. What is he like as a manager? Tell me a bit about him. From the outside, he looks like a very inspirational character.
He's very old school. Synonymous figure with Burton alongside Ben Robinson is Nigel Clough, who we had over two spells, part of the team that ascended towards into the Football League, comes back with us in the Championship, keeps us there, and then has a few years with us in League One too. Boyer is probably the first guy since Nigel Clough who has that kind of pedigree we've been looking for. Part of the problem for this 2020 struggle has been trying to replace Clough since he left during COVID, a guy who had such massive influence in all aspects of the club, both on and off the pitch. And Boyer is the first guy since then who has that kind of pedigree. This isn't the highest job he's ever had in the pyramid. He's got great pedigree from previous jobs, for instance, Blackburn and Blackpool, who were both clubs with tricky adversity that he made really good work of despite those difficulties. He's had success up in Scotland with Dundee, comes here with us just in such a dire situation and pulls off this miraculous escape. So he's incredibly good in everyone's eyes right now. And you get to know him through his interviews and the way he speaks. He likes cracking a little joke, which I quite like. He's a bit of a jokey guy as well. So some of his interviews can, he like having a little joke around with the reporters who are there speaking with him, which is quite nice. He's a very relaxed guy. I think he's just perfect for what we need at the moment. You're not going to get any brash, outlandish statements from him pre or post game. It's just that kind of measured, reasonable approach we've got. And he's the first manager for a few years who actually puts a proper team together. He's not going to put people out of position unless it's absolutely necessary.
Ed, that does link quite nicely. Thinking about tomorrow, obviously, Burton, we know what we're going to get from Burton. It's a small ground. The pitch is tight to the edges and you're really on top of the pitch. What can we expect to see from the Burton team that sets foot onto the pitch tomorrow?
Well, hopefully it's the same as last Saturday, i.e. just pretty effective and positive from the word go. I remember there was quite a bit of a reaction to sort of about 2 p.m. last Saturday because the team sheet comes out. There's a couple of key personnel missing. You have a front line who between them haven't scored since the second game of the season. A six-man bench, which included two 17-year-olds on it because that's the only options they had. They were so depleted in areas. And then they just did a fantastic job on Bolton. Had to survive a couple of early scares. Sam Dolby missed a couple of real sitters. But from sort of about 22 minutes on, they were absolutely brilliant in that game and really saw what we thought was quite a strong Bolton side and just completely took them apart. So I would expect something similar again. We kind of think we're just going to stick with the team. I think there's a couple of people back in, but really when a team's done that well in the Saturday, you've had this week break, you kind of want to keep it going with the 11 that you played before. We'll play quite direct. We can do that because we've got a front pair led by Jake Beasley, who is an incredible focal point. He's been such a nice addition this summer, and a more lively forward alongside him in either Fabio Tavares or Tyree Shade. Midfield's got tons of energy, very keen to pick up second balls. Just a really solid, sensible back line, and a pair of wingbacks who like to get forwards. They'll try to play quite direct, ultimately try and get the ball in box, particularly from wide areas or more central positions.
Me about one player that I always see in the headlines to Burton is Charlie Webster. Is he your captain? Talk to me about him because he looks like a player that I would.
He's not old enough like to be a captain. He's 21. Wouldn't want to give the armour to a 21-year-old.
Well, I don't know. You haven't seen Posh's squads over the last couple of seasons. Okay. But what is he like? Is he the beating heart of your team that he looks like from external?
He's not far off being star man territory, definitely, with the campaign he's had. One of the successes of last summer's recruitment, picked up Thor Besky Peanuts from Chelsea's academy. You can see that high-level education he's got. I mean, he's a lovely, really smart, technical midfielder. My favourite thing about him is how intelligent he is with his first touch. He's got such great spatial awareness. He knows before the ball's even been received, I need to take this touch to get away from this guy, get on the turn and progress it. He's a bit more an advanced midfielder, I'd say. There's occasions where he tries to drop in to collect the ball a bit deeper, but really we want someone else doing that because you want this guy third of the forwards trying to spread the play, distribute. And the game-changing thing about him is he is not bad from long-range shots. He will have attempts around, in and around the edge of the box. He's rocked up with some really memorable winners in his 18 months here so far. Last-minute winner of Lincoln last season. He won the game at Cardiff. Our smash and grab from a couple of weeks back and had a brace on opening day at home to Mansfield too. So he is a potential game changer in the side. And I'm not surprised everyone else keeps looking at him because he's a lad who's 22 in January. And I suspect if he keeps performing the way he has, we're going to have him for not that much longer.
Yeah, Ed, you obviously had your previous manager was the guy that was part of the Chelsea youth team, wasn't he? And he brought quite a lot of players up with him. Is Charlie Webster probably the only one that you would sort of say really settled in and got going at Burton?
The understanding, it was Mark Robinson who was there, formerly a Wimbledon coach as well. He'd left the Chelsea under 21 job to take this Burton job, which in hindsight was probably not the right decision for him. There were a few picks up from Chelsea. He didn't actually have a much part in recruitment. There was a sporting director who did that for him. I think it was an Icelandic guy, if I remember right, who was working alongside him. The understanding is Robinson didn't really have much to do with that. It just conveniently happened that a couple of the lads he'd had in his Chelsea team were there. So Webster being one, Dylan Williams, who played in midfield on Saturday, is another one who came into there too. And I think we had a couple of Chelsea loanees on top of that as well. So more convenient than anything else, I'd say.
Yeah, and looking at, you know, just the spine of your team, it's like it's really interesting. Is that Rory Delap's brother at centre back, the
Yep.
young guy? Rory
Rory
Delap's son,
Delap's
sorry, Liam Delap's,
son,
yeah,
Liam Delap's
brother.
brother. Yep, we see Rory every now and then the away end with us watching is on. He's great. He's only 20 years old. He's out of the academy officially. Very no-nonsense centre back. Really, really good. He's not the biggest in build, but he makes it work. He can go toe-to-toe with some big strikers this season.
Okay, so right. We know you've said what we're going to get from Burton. Ed, is there anyone, and this there might not be anyone, is there anybody at Posh that concerns you, the team that are bottom of the league?
Well, you have two. We our podcast. We have a feature for ex-Brewers. You have two of them. Sam Hughes. We love Sam Hughes. He's a former player of the season. I understand he's been injured since the start of pre-season. Don't know when the return scale is to him. I'm hoping it's sometimes down the line because I don't really like coming up against him because I know exactly what he's about. He's a great defender. Tom O'Connor, we had a number of years back now. We're only in for 6 months. His thing was that he could score direct from corners. We brought him into midfield from Southampton. He scored two goals direct from corners in consecutive games. Only his 6 months. He had really good output. And Wrexham went and brought him down two leagues. And we've been coming up against him since rather than facing him. And I understand there's a good chance he plays this Saturday. So he's one we certainly don't want to see delivering for us because we know exactly what that left foot can offer when he's on it. I like your wing backs. I want to feel quite good with them. Jacob Mendy should be quite a handy one. No, you're going to disagree
I
with me on
so
this.
yeah, well, look, if you think he's if he, you think that he's going to be somebody that you struggle with, he's got to have had a good 2 weeks because, in the nicest way possible, he's been
I'll
absolutely
say it then in the hope
trounced.
that it doesn't land anyway. So I'll go with that. Also, Peter Kyoso, I feel like has had about 20 loans in the last 10 years. I feel like I always see Peter Kyoso on loan somewhere. I don't think he's had a permanent club for ages.
Well, I think he what, did he end up permanent at Oxford and where we've
I
now
don't
got him from?
remember. I just
But
see
I think,
Peter Kyoso on loan somewhere all the time, it feels like with me.
well, hopefully we are still. I think Peter Kitt is a difficult one with him because I don't think he's quite hit the heights that he did on his first loan to Posh. But we know that he's got it, and we ultimately think that he's probably too good for League One, but he's maybe not quite good enough for the Championship. So he's definitely not a bottom of League One player. Ed, the other people that I wanted to probably ask you about is, well, probably somebody that Charlie Webster knows, Jimmy J Morgan. He's obviously come from Chelsea as well, and Harry Leonard. Do you know anything about either of those two guys?
My understanding is Harry Leonard's quite a decent size to him.
Yeah,
Is
so
that is
he's
it?
played. Yeah, he's played sort of. He actually hasn't scored yet, despite I think it's 800 grand that we spent on him from Blackburn, but he does really hold the ball up quite well. And he's been kind of pivotal to sort of helping us get the ball forwards. Just unfortunate that he missed a penalty against Plymouth and he's not really had any clear-cut chances. Like Jimmy J Morgan, the flip side is that he just seems to be in the right place at the right time. And I've put a few tweets out reminiscing back to that 5-2 that we discussed before we went live on that freezing cold Tuesday night. And I actually looked through the gallery for one of the social posts that we were going to put out. And I think like three or four of those five goals were all tap-ins against Burton. So I'm kind of hoping for a similar sort of thing in that Jimmy J Morgan, the keeper's going to spill the ball or it's going to rebound and ricochet. And Jimmy J Morgan, hopefully tomorrow, is going to be in the right place at the right time and is probably hopefully going to give you a nightmare.
I was just thinking back to what that team was, wasn't it? It was Clark, Harris, Mason Clark, and Joe Ward as the front three. No wonder he won 5-2. God, there
Well,
have been
yeah.
some. There's been some frightening Peterborough front lines we've
Yeah,
played in the
we
past.
missed those times. Oh my
Yeah, I'm
God,
sure
I
you do.
remember. It was just like literally that night when we won 5-2. It was literally just every attack we just scored. Like it was absolutely mental. That was still one of my favorite games, just because like of the chaos. And then obviously last season was like a proper relegation battle, wasn't it? Like 2-2. All the goals were just like nasty. Like it was a proper nasty game. And then you beat us, didn't you, last season away from
Yeah.
home?
Yeah,
Like,
we just lost to our arch rivals in the FA Cup, Tamworth. They'd just beaten us in the FA Cup second round. It's a bitterly disappointing result, one of the worst results of recent times. And I think we took about 30 people to you guys on that Wednesday night. And I've got to say, lads, that was probably the warning sign for me that Peterborough might be having where they are right now, because you did not look good. That like look extremely passive on the ball.
Yeah, you broke Poku that night as well, so thanks
yes,
for that.
Yes, I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think if we've got no other business, we need to
find out. One thing, because Jake's popped in the chat, Edward, and it looks like he's got some beef.
Oh, for goodness, I can't escape him.
any comments on that whilst we're here?
He had to cover me from the Bolton preview last week, and he did a terrible job, so that's all right.
Fair enough. But he did it nonetheless.
He did it willingly, but he could have done way better with it. As he knows, he has high standards in.
Right, just go on, Chaz.
I was just going to say, he's a former Countdown to Kickoff guest, isn't he? Another one in the penitentiary, yeah.
Well, not quite so much. Yeah. More so that we're in the penitentiary. We are in Strugsville, which... Edward, does lead us nicely to your score prediction for the game. We ask every guest that comes on what their score prediction is going to be. And if they think that their team is going to score, who's going to score the first goal?
Oh, I hate doing predictions because they never, ever land. Never, ever got one right. And I'm quite dreading this game because I think we're favourites and we do not do the favourites tag. This whole club's philosophy for about 10 years has been being underdog in games. So when they approach one where they are favourites, and I'm a little bit worried about some expectations in the stands this Saturday. The people are going to come to the Pirelli and think, well, we've just done a fantastic job on Bolton. Now what can we do to Peterborough? And I just don't think it works like that. I don't know if you guys have heard, but Gary Bowyer reckons you're in a false position. He's spoken about that before.
Every manager says that.
He's very complimentary of Darren for the work he's done across his spells here. So there are quite obvious reasons. Gary is very much taking this seriously. There'll be no complacency from the squad. I just don't know if the football gods allow me to predict a Burton win, because I feel like my best approach is just to say defeat. But I don't feel like I want to be able to be positive about this team. But the last 5 years have just made me feel like going low expectations and just kind of manage yourself and just
go on, do it. Predict a win, please.
My go-to is 1-1, but that's quite boring to go 1-1, isn't it? So I can't do that.
No fence sitting here, please.
No, I'll get on the fence and get on my side, and I'll go 1-0 to the Brewers.
And who's the first goal scorer going to be?
Let's go Webster. Let's go game changer over again. Second half goal
from 30 yards. Do we think absolute piss missile?
Bit close,
top right.
Bit closer. I reckon third man run to the box.
Love it. Right, wicked. Thank you, Edward. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being a great guest. And I'm going to take you off. Thank you very much. Right, Chaz, talk to me. Edward, right there, you know how it goes on these Countdown to Kickoffs. They fill me with confidence, or I fill myself with confidence, then they shatter it.
Yeah,
I'm still feeling confident. Edward's not as confident as I thought he was going to be after the back of their sort of four good results in the league. So how are you feeling after that one?
Yeah, I think I'm the same. Ed was like, he just didn't sound like they want it as badly as we do. Like, they seem to be quite content at the moment. Or not content, but like, they've had a good result. They've had a couple of good results. I just think, like, we need this. Like, this is desperation. Like, this is proper last chance saloon for us. I think it means a lot more to us than it does to them. And also, looking at their team, like, I don't think any of their players massively, like, I mentioned Webster. He's the one that I think, like, I could just imagine him absolutely running the show and just, like, causing us all sorts of problems. But, like, even the forwards he mentioned, you know, like Ballard and, is it Ballard? What's his name? Beasley. I was thinking, yeah, he's not great. I've watched him a few times when he was at Blackpool and he was never great. I just think, like, really, we should be doing a job on these lot. I think, but I don't bite on that whole false position thing, because every single manager we play against says it. The Birmingham manager said it last year. He was like, these are the best we've ever, like, the best we faced so far this season, when they played like four teams that ended up in the top six. They always say it because we have some nice moments in games. What they don't realise is, beneath all sort of like the flourish and the nice football, is just a rotten core of football, of a football team that just love to lose games.
I think you're right. I think it's a cop out. It's a cop out for the manager, for in case they lose the game. It's kind of like, monitor or measuring expectations so that if they do lose, well, they can say, well, look, they shouldn't really be bottom of the league because, like, we've played 11 games now, is it, in the league?
Yeah.
We are the worst team in the league. Like,
oh, yeah, we're 5 points adrift already.
Yeah, like, there's no way that you can say, oh, yeah, they're in a false position. Like, if it was after two or three games, I'd say, yeah, fair enough. Maybe I would stretch to five. But 11 games is enough of a sample size to say we're not in a false position. Now, right, let's get our posh guest in, my so-called mate, Bob. Bob, hello.
Hello there.
How are you?
Yeah, great. It's not like my connection to drop out.
Well, yeah, you've frozen just then. Shall we tell everybody? Do you want to tell everyone when your last posh game was?
League game. The last game I went to was Wembley.
Yes, you are a dedicated, loyal fan.
Yeah, it's a bit of a fraud, to be honest. A bit of a fraud.
But you're going to tell me you've watched from afar. What are your thoughts on this season so far?
Watched from afar, listened on the radio from afar. It's not great. Not great, is it? I thought it was going to be a bit of a turnaround post-Plymouth. You sort of got that. Then the dross started dripping in again. I just don't think we've recruited well again, to be honest. I think I think the time of selling players and bringing up from non-league are over, in my opinion. We've now tried to recruit almost desperately these sort of non-posh players, if you like, that are sort of battle-hardened in the league, but we never really used to go for those sort of players. So I think the turnaround there is probably the biggest difference I've seen in the most recent posh teams, and it obviously is not working because I don't know if Darren Ferguson's the type of man that is able to manage them sort of players. He's sort of better with young, hungry, raw players, in my opinion. So,
You mentioned Fergie there and his skills. I mean, that is the big conversation at the moment, isn't it? That is the conversation point, is his position. What kind of position do you think he's in right now, Darren Ferguson? If you were Darren McAntony, what would you be doing, and what is your view on him?
It's difficult. I think he's got so much money in the bank that I don't know if he'll ever be sacked. I've just listened into Dara's podcast recently, and it just seems they're such good friends, according to what he's saying, that he can't sack him. He's sort of almost unsackable. I personally, I think the time to sack him would have been probably before the international break. It was bleak. I can't see any sort of way out of it. So the only question is who would come in. I don't know who would want to be sort of managing Posh at this point in time. So really, maybe it's sort of the grass isn't always greener. So stick to what you know and just trust that Fergie will get us out of it again. But again, it's a difficult one because he's just got so much credit in the bank, I think.
Yeah, and when Fergie sort of says in his interviews, and he's very defiant, and he says that, you know, I've still got a job to do here and I'm so motivated, I know I'm going to turn this round and I don't see my position as in threat at all. Do you buy that, or do you think beneath the surface there's a lot more going on than we sort of know from the outside?
It's difficult because he's never going to come out and give up. He's not that sort of manager, I don't think. To be honest, it's difficult when you've got a chairman preaching football where they want to be sort of entertaining, and then just listening to Darren's racing interview, he said it's inevitable that they're going to get the win soon, and really it's just sort of getting results is what's most important right now. So there's a bit of confusion there, I think, with what the owner wants and what Darren's trying to achieve. The players that he's been given clearly, I mean, at the moment aren't good enough. They've obviously had experience in League One, but from all accounts from other teams I've spoken about them players, like Mendy, for example, they're just not going to be the sort of the ones that we need, really. I know we're looking back, but when you compare them to someone like Harrison Burrows, I mean, it's night and day. So we don't have them players anymore. So I think we're just going to try and adapt and try and really grind out results to keep us alive in this league. And it's difficult to watch, really. Difficult to watch and difficult to listen to. So especially to compare to what we used to have.
Quick question then. Do you think that we will survive? Do you think that let's ignore what's happened for the first 11 games? Do you think over the next 35, and I'm going to drop a little nugget here, 2 points a game for 35 gets us to 77, which puts us in the playoffs? Look, I've said it. That's literally two wins and then a loss every three games. Yeah. Where do you think now, ignoring the first 11, that a good sort of points tally from the next 35 is?
I don't know. I mean, I'm always an optimist with Posh, so I'm never going to think we're going to get relegated even to the last game of the season until it's sort of mathematically possible. So I think we've got it in us to, we've got it in us to try and get out of this. I definitely think so. I mean, look at the teams around us. We would have been sort of slapping these teams up a few seasons ago. So I know it's difficult to think about that right now because the position we're in, but I think we could easily get out of it with a run. And notoriously, we're not that great at Christmas time, which is obviously not brilliant coming up. But I think probably post New Year, if we see a bit of a turnaround there, I think we'll have enough. We'll have enough. I don't know about a playoff push. That's a bit of a stretch maybe, but this is what the sort of reality we're looking at now is we need to be comfortable with places like sort of 10th and below, sort of between 10th and 15th. I think that's our target and then just build from there.
One thing, Bob, obviously the change in formation from a 4-2-3-1 into a 5-3-2. What are your thoughts on that? And obviously we brought in the players to play that. It means that we sort of had to turf out some players that now don't fit the system. What are your thoughts on that system? And which one would you choose if you were the manager?
I don't know, the 5-3-2 is probably the one that I think we'll stick with and probably one that the manager will stick with as well, just based on the players that we have now. I think my biggest concern is the gap from the two forwards to the midfield behind them. We don't really have that link. I mean, we don't have like a Tomlin or even a Randall. I know that's probably controversial because Randall's not seen as the best light in a lot of Posh fans' eyes, but he sort of knitted it together quite well, I thought, when he was on form. Obviously, that wasn't as often as we liked, but we don't seem to have that player. Lisby, in my opinion, is more of a winger. He's more of a raw winger. So the sort of the talk of having him in that hole there, I don't know if he's really that feasible. Maybe Lolos, I don't know. But again, I don't think he's that good. So
Lolos, I'll tell you now, Lolos is pants.
Right.
I was at the ground on Tuesday watching the under-21s, and whether he'd only had 45 minutes planned or whether he was hooked at half-time and replaced by one of the under-18s, he just looked so poor. And I think that we discussed in some group chats, didn't we, Charlie, that the last good thing that Lolos did was score against Posh at the Reebok that game where it was 0-0 until the 98th minute and he followed that penalty in. So I'm not seeing it with him. I think that I do sympathise with him a little bit because he's obviously been brought in to play in the 4-2-3-1 and Fergie's then moved away from that. And he's ultimately not a striker. He's not a winger and he's not a midfielder. He is a cam. And that's sort of difficult for him, but
he's like a shit Madison.
that's a claim, man.
Madison.
Jazz, what you got?
Well, I guess I just want to know, like, how massive is tomorrow in your eyes? Like, for me, this feels like one of our biggest games in recent times, like in terms of how it could affect the trajectory of the club and what goes on. I mean, how do you view it?
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, it's huge. It's we're obviously playing a team around us, so we'd be trying to beat them to try and get a little bit of traction up the league. I mean, we can't keep losing these games because teams around us will probably pick up points as well, and we'll just drift. And that's the worst thing. We need to at least have a chance post sort of by Christmas, even if we're still in the relegation zone, sort of pushing towards getting out of there. Because right now, I can't see us winning many games at all, to be honest. It's huge.
Yeah, and obviously going 8 points adrift of the relegate of like safety, which is what would happen if Burton beat us. Mm-hmm. I mean, would that be the nail in the coffin, do you think, or would you still think it was salvageable even if we lost tomorrow?
I still think it's salvageable. I think until it's mathematically possible, we've still got a chance. I mean, our two forwards, in all honesty, I don't think deserve to be in the position that we're in. I think they're too good for bottom of League One. Again, it's just making it tick with trying to get them service. I know you discussed the sort of point of having Oddo in that cam. I don't know about that. And it's just not for me, I don't think. I still think we've got too much quality and too much experience in League One in this team for us to go down, but it's just going to be a bit of a slog. It's going to be a slog. So we're going to have to show a bit of fight tomorrow. Because if we go 1-0 down, I mean, God, it's going to be bleak. Absolutely bleak.
Yeah. Do you know what? You messaged me, Bob, don't you, when the games are on? And it's normally after 5-10 minutes. Do you think that that's going to be important tomorrow, that we don't concede in the opening sort of 15 to 20 minutes of the game? Because that's been the problem for us this season, isn't it? It just feels like we're not even getting started. Bolton was hit the post inside the first 60 seconds, wasn't it? And then it was 4 minutes that they scored, and then 20 minutes we're 2-0 down, and we've given ourselves a mountain to climb. How do you? We're already playing a defensive formation, and this is why when we've had this argument previously on the pod, we discuss it as, is it a 3? Is it a 5? Well, when we're defending, it's 100% a 5. And I just can't get by how we're conceding goals with 5 defenders on the pitch. Like, do you think that it's a system issue? Obviously, you said that we're going to stick with a 5. Do you think that it is a system issue, or whether it's a player issue?
I think it's difficult to say with the players that are out. I mean, Hughes is out. I think when Hughes comes back in, it'll be a massive addition back in the squad. Just to get, firstly, to get a bit of character and sort of a bit of no-nonsense defending, really. It's a massive issue that we keep conceding so early, and it just puts us on the back foot straight away. I don't know. Obviously, the keeper situation seems to have been sorted. Obviously, you better judge than me on how Bass is doing, but whether or not he's fills you with confidence or not, I guess sort of jury's still out on that one. But I know we have attacking wing-backs, but wing-backs still do need to defend. By the sounds of it, it doesn't seem like they've got that in their lock, especially Mendy. I don't know. He seems to be a bit of a weak point for me from sort of the highlights that I've seen. And again, it's just sort of simple goals from down that side. So I think, just building the foundation of trying to get, I mean, a clean sheet would be great tomorrow, which is a 0-0. I mean, it's a clean sheet that we can build on. it's a point, isn't it? It's better than none. So,
I can't go to Burton on a Saturday for a 12:30.
I hope it's 0-0 for you. So you just go there for absolutely zero goals. But.
Well, go on then. Okay, like look, before we wrap up here, you've got to give your prediction. You're not going to predict 0-0. I know you're not. And if you are obviously not going to predict 0-0, please tell me who your first Posh goal scorer is. If you think Posh are going to score,
I think I'm going 3-1 Posh, massive win, and I am going Jimmy J Morgan. Or first goal scorer for Posh.
Submitted your prediction to the website, Bob?
Not yet. When my internet gets better, I will do that. So, yeah, for sure.
Wicked. Well, I have loved having you on. It's been great.
Yeah,
get you on in the future. It's way past your bed. What's the time? It's 8:38. It's way past your bedtime. Thank you for joining us.
No
I'm
worries.
Boot you off now with great pleasure. Yeah. And then, Chaz, we're going to run through the comments. See ya. We've got loads of comments to run through, Chaz. And also, actually, before we start on the comments, I have got a theory.
Right.
I think that, hear me out on this, Abraham Otto is going to score at least 2 goals tomorrow. Now, hear me out, right? Do you remember, it might be a bit young for you, Chaz, but hopefully the people in the comments that are a little bit older, Craig McHale Smith was a fucking quality striker for Posh, right? And then he cut his hair, and he went through an absolute barren patch where he didn't score for ages until his hair had grown long again. I went back and I request everybody goes back and looks at what Abraham Otto's hair was like when he was at Harrogate, where he was decent. Not saying he was a world beater, but he still had the headband on, but he had it in a ponytail at the back. When he came to Posh, he still had the headband on, but he had it like, it was kind of like curtains and like a bob. I saw the training pictures, and the training pictures look like he's gone back to the ponytail. Now, another player that's been poor this season, Harley Mills. Harley Mills last season had the fringe, didn't he? Scored a goal at Wembley. He went on holiday. And he came back with curtains and he was poor. I'm not sure whether I've ever explained this, but I'm a superstitious man that believes in this sort of stuff. So I think that if Otto gets on the pitch tomorrow with that ponytail in, I reckon he's going to bang it. He's going to prove us wrong, more importantly.
That's one of the worst theories I've ever heard in my life. What are you talking about?
You've not heard my moon theories yet, but I will bore you with those another day.
Oh right. My god.
All the way back to the start. Lod tells me not to bring my glasses. You think we look bad? I'd like to clarify here that I actually don't have blurred vision. I just have a problem focusing on a particular thing. So these glasses are prism lenses. I'm not going to bore everyone with the details. Just basically means that I can focus on a point easier. Not So Posh tells us that we have an awful record after an international break. I think that this one's going to be different. I think that with the experienced players that we've got in the team, the reason previously why we had poor records after an international break is because we were giving like young players like 2 or 3 days off. Like we've seen in the past, yeah, where they'd ended up in Dubai in that time. And I just think that it's going to be different. I would imagine that the players probably had the weekend off Saturday, Sunday last week. But what do you think? What do you think, Chaz? Do you think
I don't think you should be able to go away during the international break. I always see that. You see players go to Dubai, or worse, you see players go to places like Magaluf and like go out on proper like clubbing holidays in the middle of. I personally think when the season starts, you hunker down and you're locked in and you're at the training ground as much as possible. I'd be such a horrible manager to have, because days off would be like gold dust. You maybe get Christmas Day in the afternoon, but other than that, you'd be in all the time. And yeah, I think because Fergie did complain about that, didn't he? He said giving players too much time off, their minds were wandering and they weren't focusing. I reckon they will have been seriously worked over this international break, though. I mean, I'm more worried about players like Garbutt coming back and like, is he going to be fully on it with, he's been out in Poland, you know, Posh Plus filmed him out there. He's been, you know, had his New Zealand head on. Is he going to be fully focused? You know, George Nevitt, he's had quite a good big week. It's more the players returning. I think the players at the training ground will have been very focused, because I don't think Fergie would let them be anything else. But yeah, I can understand it. I can understand. But I also just think, you know, awful record after an international break. Maybe we're just bad. Maybe that's the issue.
Yeah, you could be right. There was a comment on Fergie from Andy Griffin. Should Fergie walk back from Burton? There's every chance that Fergie does drive himself to the game tomorrow and rocks up in his car, because there's a chance that DMAT may be on the phone to him, telling him that he's done after the game very quickly, and telling him to make his own way back. I wouldn't personally make him walk. That's a little bit harsh. But if DMAT sacks him at, 3 p.m. tomorrow, it's going to be an awkward bus journey back, isn't it?
He's not going to drive himself to the game. That's such a terrible, like, already the manager's... He's rocking up and he's already not confident. He's already driven himself to the game just in case he gets sacked at full time. What a way to inspire confidence into your players. Yeah, lads, I'm not coming on the coach with you. I'm driving myself because this may be the last time you ever see me kind of vibes. No, he's not going to do that.
We will wait and see for those photos of him getting off the coach tomorrow, I'm sure. Chef, well, is that Couchon or is it Couchon? That's a gracious headline, because there's only been one game in October, which means that all you need to do is just go and look at the results from the Bolton game. Like that's the leaderboard. There's nothing else to update. And if you really want to do the overall leaderboard, plus the two together, anybody's names that you see on the one, you add them on and then jobs are good. Lods is talking about Tom O'Connor's excellent delivery, which I'm going to come back to when we get to my predictions, because I don't want to give too much away, but Ed actually filled me with confidence. I realised that he scored two direct corners. That is quality. Mendy is only good at passing the ball to the advertising boards. Yeah, and the Chef Couchon. I'm going to go with
Couchon. My God, yes. That was so cold. It wasn't the coldest game I've ever been to.
Yeah, I'd like to raise Port Vale away, Fergie's first game back, 1 or 2-0, I think it was. Maybe Ephraim Mason-Clark got a double. We were wearing the black kit with the gold typing on. That was the coldest game that I've ever been to.
Yeah, I'm gonna raise you one more. Do you remember Doncaster at home in the FA Cup in 23-24? It was a Saturday afternoon. We won 2-1, and that was literally. And to be fair, that most people were saying that was like Baltic. That was crazy. That was like I've never experienced anything like it. I usually at a game I don't wear hats and gloves and stuff. And I made a point of like, I was like, no, you know what? I'll firm this. I'll not wear a hat. I'll not wear some gloves. Sorry, this is a massive sidetrack. And literally that day I had to put hat and gloves on for the first time at a football match. And I like half an hour into the game, I just gave up and I couldn't do it anymore. So yeah,
I have one further, but this is a long time ago. We played Watford at home and I think that the pitch was covered in snow. Memory serves me correctly, Exodus Geohagen scored and then did a diving header into the snow. That was a very, very cold day. I think it was like a week or two before Christmas. Bad times. Right, there was a question from Noah that I wanted to ask you, Chaz, because you are more well-versed on these types of things. If Fergie did go, who would replace him?
Well, I think if it's tomorrow, it will be because we've just lost to Burton, which means we're 8 points adrift of the relegation zone, which means we need results and we need them quick and we need to become this horrible football team. So there's only one man for the job and he's been at a lot of posh games this season. It is Steve Evans. If we lose tomorrow, I will be on the Evans train massively. He will be my number one target. Or him, or can we like lure Sam Allardyce or someone, Neil Warnock, get him out of retirement? Get one of those proper traditional football managers in who will be like, he'll say to Ado, you know what? I know you've just cut your hair and back to Harrogate, but get rid of it all. You're going bald, Abraham, because we can't be dealing with any of that. He will proper get that team sorted out. I think it's got to be Steve Evans if Fergie goes tomorrow.
Howard Thomas says that he was speaking to a Blackburn player's relative this week. They all had Harry Leonard down for the Premier League. He'll break out soon. Do you know what? I really do hope that that's right. Like, it's difficult, isn't it? And it was always going to be the way, I'm sure I've said this on a recording recently, is that the one that we pay money for is on a duck at the moment. And then the one that we bring in on loan that we won't see any value for is the one that scored, what, 4 or 5 goals, is it, for us?
Yeah. But it easily could have been the other way around. Like, you think about, like, the goals that they scored. It easily could have been, like, Morgan that made the header against Wickham and Leonard that tapped it in, you know. It just so happens that Leonard's been the one that's... But I don't think Leonard's been poor. Like, I think he's been pretty good. And you can tell he's a player. And I'm very confident about his signing. I think he's going to be good for us. Like, he's one of the ones that I see him coming and I thought, yeah, this is a serious Darren masterclass, this one, because I think he is going to burst out, whether it's this season or I think more likely next season we stay up and then next season we rebuild and he scores 25 goals. He's going to have that massive season. I'm so confident of it.
Lods has just reminded everybody how much of a dedicated posh women supporter he is. Posh women versus Worcester was the coldest. It wasn't the coldest. I don't like that. That was the wettest for sure. That was at Yaxley on the 3G, and it basically pissed it down for 100 minutes of football. And Meg Lawler scored an absolute pinger that went in off the crossbar. That was a good game, but definitely not the coldest. Not so posh. He's moaning that we're young. This sounds a bit like it was worse in the 80s kind of job.
If yeah, what was he talking me, about? But back right. in the day when the only heat you could get was from the Bovril that you had to queue 9 hours for, like, proper, like, the weather is the same in you know, the 90s. Well, probably not, actually, global warming. Maybe he's right. But it was the same back then as it is now. I mean, have we ever... I'm trying to think about... I remember being in Gillingham's away and when it didn't have a roof, but I was on the side bit. But, like, they got proper soaked that day. But there's not really... Yeah, no, I see it. I don't think a Matt roof Paul. Does a lot about cold. Like, I really don't think a roof massive, especially in a bigger ground or, like, in London Road, like the main stand. I don't really think the roof does a lot to negate the cold other than maybe shield you from some wind. But if it's not windy and it's just one of those proper just through and through cold days, I don't really think a roof makes a difference.
Difficult. I was trying to make a nuclear pun about like the Bovril being nuclear so that I could link to this question. or statement. I am not a Simpsons watcher. I'm going to level with you. Chaz, have you ever watched The Simpsons to know what Ben is going on about?
I've never watched The Simpsons. I've only ever watched like conspiracy theory videos about The Simpsons that they like predict major world events that happen. I've never actually watched an episode of the show. So yeah, let's get that gone straight away.
Yeah, Ben, send me the link so that I can watch this and so I can understand. Not so posh back in saying that, yeah, Hughes, Frith and Adebisi sound like they're not too far away. I still don't think we're going to see Adebisi until 2026, personally. PUFC for life looks like Jed Steer. Jed Steer's on comms tomorrow for those watching or listening on BBC Radio Cans. He's doing comms for them, so that'll be a good listen. It was definitely colder in the 60s and 70s. We had snow. The roof stops the wind. It's always windy up north. Yeah, you're not wrong. Right. The only other thing that we haven't discussed on the pod, I don't think, was obviously Chris Conn-Clarke has gone up to Carlisle and has hit some form against Boston. Two goals and assist, I think it was. Chaz, do you think that there's a way back in for Chris Conn-Clarke at Peterborough United?
I reckon a manager, if we did get Steve Evans back in, I reckon he'd have a serious look at a player like Chris Conn-Clarke, because I think he's the kind of manager that would appreciate the little guy. I think under Fergie, I don't think he's got much of a chance. I don't think he really suits Fergie's system. But then again, I think when we recruited him, we were confident that he'd be, like, we were more confident about him than maybe we should have been. But there was always that question mark of, like, is he a Fergie kind of player? Like, is he a number 10 in this system? He's not a winger really, is he? And he just doesn't really fit in anywhere. I think he'd probably fit in actually better in the 10 role in like the way we're playing currently. I think like one of his best games is actually at Burton last season. He got two assists, didn't he? And it was him in the 10, and then it was Ricky and Malik as a front two. And then like we had like George Nevitt at left wing back. It was all very weird. I think that was one of the like one of his better games, and I think he probably would suit the system better. I'll never really understand what happened with Chris Conn-Clarke, and he's already gone to Carlisle, hasn't he? And in one game, like, absolutely tore it up. And they're all saying like, I don't know how we've got this player down to this level. Fair play to him. I reckon he'll go up there and score some like some put up some serious numbers. Like, I'm thinking like 10 to 15 goals before like he comes back to us in January. Like, I think he's just going to set the world alight. And then listen, if we bring him back in January, then we will be able to sell him on, maybe loan him out to a League Two club. I think he'll play a part for us at some point, whether that just be getting some finances in or like playing games.
Yeah, I hope so. I think, Chaz, I think we're there. I think probably the only other thing to mention in terms of, well, football this weekend, obviously it's only Posh playing, no game for Posh Women. Their next game is the 26th, I think it will be, at home. It's the FA Cup game against
Real Betis. Have we done our score predictions?
Oh, we haven't, have we? Good job you're here. Right. Let's get down to business, shall we? Let me, first of all, change my banner to remind everybody to submit their predictions on the Up the Posh website for the Next Level Barbell Club Predictions League. Now, you may have heard me say that I was delighted to hear that Tom O'Connor scores direct from free kicks. Well, you'll see on the graphic on screen, and for those listening at home as well, I've predicted a 5-1 Posh win tomorrow. I am confident that we are going to just absolutely batter Burton. And Ed did nothing to stem that confidence. Tom O'Connor, first goal scorer. I was going to think that he was going to head one in from a corner, but actually, maybe there's a chance that he scores direct or he whips a free kick in potentially. If Ben Woods doesn't start, then I would imagine that Tom O'Connor's probably got a sniff at being on free kicks. Dell has gone for his classic 4-2. If it's not 2-2, it's 4-2, Harry Leonard. Harry 4-1, Ben Woods to score first. John 3-1 and Max 3-1, both Harry Leonard. And then Lodz has also gone for a 4-2. So there's lots of similar score lines here. Chaz, you obviously did actually submit your prediction late. I would like to let the listeners know. So you are very lucky to get away with actually having a prediction and not a 10-0 Posh. Do you want to talk us through your prediction and how you've come to that conclusion?
Yeah, well, first of all, Bob has copied my notes because he did the same prediction as me. But I just think the 3-1 is the most realistic scoreline. I think we won at Burton 3-1 like 2 seasons ago, didn't we? It just feels like that kind of game. Like, I just... it's just a vibe I get. I never do score predictions based on real logic. I think it's just, I like look at the game on Footmob and I look at it and then I close my eyes and I imagine looking at it after full time and what the score says. And I close my eyes and I just saw the numbers 3 and 1 next to each other and was like, there we go, that's my prediction. I mean, to be fair, a lot of my predictions have been done by, since coming to Sheffield, random people in clubs at like 4 o'clock in the morning. So this is good that I've actually, you know, proper locked in on a prediction. But yeah, I just think 3-1. I think Jimmy J Morgan, he's just the man, isn't he? He scored goals left, right and centre. The one thing I would say is whoever's put Ben Woods as first goal scorer, I actually would not start Ben Woods tomorrow. I'd bring Keller back in. So that's maybe a bit of a controversial selection decision. But I actually think we looked poor without Keller in the midfield at Bolton. So Woods would get the drop for me. Keller would come in. So obviously he's not going to be first goal scorer. But yeah, other than that, I could see all the other predictions. I think 5-1's a little bit crazy. Have we even scored 5 league goals this season yet? Because
yes, we have. Yeah, we have.
How many have we scored? 8.
I think it is 8. Yeah.
Wow. So I just don't see that. But 3-1, that would be a very good result.
I mean, look, Bob said 0-0. I think I would literally take... No, that's not true. I would not take a 1-0. We are Peterborough United. We do not win games 1-0. Plymouth was a good away win, but we should be going to places like Burton and just absolutely pumping them, shouldn't we? That last season was difficult. Obviously, we only got a point from them in the whole season. I think we really need to set ourselves straight in the league. And look, delusional optimism, maybe it is, but I just think that with the rest, these players are going to be ready to go. And with that, we are done. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for listening. If you're listening on the way up to Burton tomorrow morning or Saturday morning, as it will be if you're listening. Thank you to Elite Lawn Maintenance for their partnership on this episode and this weekend of football. And thank you, of course, to Next Level Barbell Club for their sponsorship of our Predictions League. Reminder that there is only 3 games in October. So 1 5-pointer, correct score and score first goal scorer could win you the lot. And then you'll be one step closer to 2 tickets in the Next Level Barber Club box, or even closer to that end of season £250 cash prize. With that, up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.